Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on a Fan Friday.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
It has been 2 weeks, Trevor, since we last did a Fan Friday. The fans, you would think, right, would be chomping at the bit, trying to get their questions in, trying to pick the brains of two greats, but...
two greats?
You could tell it's Friday.
Two greats?
But I would describe us as the greats, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, sure.
So we only got like seven questions, though.
You have a blue check. I don't, and I'm not butthurt about it.
You don't
it.
Have a blue check?
No, I'm not butthurt about it. Yeah, well, no.
Even for your brand, you need one. Just for
I'm not
humor brand.
It's fine. No, it's fine.
No, I'm not bitter at all.
No, it's fine. I'm not mad. Sure. You know, you got a bunch of terrible people with less than 1,000 followers who have the blue check, but I don't. It's so fine. It's cool. It's fine.
I don't know how that happens. I don't know how you get us like. I mean, I don't understand how it happens. Yeah,
co-host over here doesn't even know how he does it, and he gets it, but I don't have one. It's fine. It's really. I mean, like, it's all fine.
We're gonna have to have like the Twitter verified people on the show to just grill them with questions, and then you can let the resentment fly. You've got before we start get to the questions, and we do have like seven or so of the questions.
Well, do you want that first? You wanted to save the NBA thing for the end.
I don't know. Are you gonna be able to hold it in?
Yeah, let's save it for the end.
Okay,
All right, we got to give people a reason to keep listening to our stupid questions,
Zach Celadonia, our number one fan, says, have any of the perceived powerhouses of the NFL displayed any flaws in the preseason that make you question them now?
The perceived powerhouses?
Yeah,
so what,
he like, kind of says like last year's playoff teams, but I think like in general teams that are considered like to be some of the better franchises around the league. To me, Baltimore's bad. I don't even think they could be picking top five next year, I think. I mean, tell me I'm wrong, because like look at they don't have many offensive weapons. Their offensive line's terrible at some spots. I mean, Marshall Yonda's obviously good. I'm sure Ronnie Stanley will be solid in his second year, but everywhere else is a weakness. The tight end group's been ravaged by injury. Flacco's been a bottom 10 quarterback, and that may be kind. Over the last 2 years, their best running back's Ken Dixon, and he's out for the season. Defensively, Tyus Bowser and Tim Williams have to have great seasons to make that pass rush, what it needs to be, I think. And even a corner, Jimmy Smith and Brandon Carr, they're solid corners, but they're not world beaters. I don't think these guys are, the type they're going to turn the ball over a ton. And you lose Zach Orr. He was a really good inside linebacker. You lose Lawrence Guy up front, and you lose who else? They lost somebody else up front too. I can't think of who it is right. Oh, Timmy Jernigan. You trade away. So now guys like Brent Urban and Bronson Calfusi and young guys that have barely played, Carl Davis, Willie Henry, those guys have to step up. So there's just a lot more uncertainty on the defensive side, and I don't think the offense can carry them at all. I mean, it's going to have to be the defense that carries them, and I don't think the unit's as good as it was last year. So I don't know, man. I think Baltimore could be really bad this year. I think they could finish below Cleveland.
I don't know if I see like any of the good teams playing bad in the preseason. It's more of like the bad teams are playing bad, and it's pretty much solidifying to me that they're going to be bad. But I would just say that like I'm super impressed by Dak Prescott. And, his year last year was incredible. And I went into this year thinking, like, man, can he really, like, can he keep that going? And I watched that – which game did I watch? It might have been that very first game. And no, it was the most recent one. It was the most recent one they played. And like, the dude looks like an all pro still. Mm-hmm. Like a year later, all this time has passed. There's no hot streak that he's going. There's no momentum. All this, whatever, blah blah blah. Like he's still great. He's awesome. Yeah. So I have just been so impressed with Dak Prescott. Last year, obviously the run that he had, and then he has already started off so hot to me this year that he is. He's just proving that they obviously made the right choice sticking with him over Tony Romo and letting the show be his now, because here we are into his second year. And I know it's just the preseason, but these early throws, he's been so great. So he's been my biggest standout so far. And I know he had a great year last year, but he's impressive, man.
Yeah, I completely 100% agree with you on that one. And I think that too, going back to what you said at the beginning of the bad teams looking bad, I think that's 100% true. I think that I said this last night on Twitter, and I really think this. I think I could look at the league right now and give you 10 to 12 teams that I could say confidently, at least 10 to 12 teams, that I could say confidently will not make the playoffs this season and feel fine about that. Feel like, yeah, I would put money on it, you know, that type
There's
of
thing. Not a ton of fringe teams.
Yeah, I mean, and even –
You're either good or you're bad.
Yeah, some team. I mean, yeah, it really is. That's. I mean, there's a couple teams in the middle that you know we'll see what you know the way things go. And but yeah. at least 12 teams I could give you. Trevor Bucks comps for the ingredients of a Chipotle burrito.
Okay. So like I'm comparing.
How many things are in? Okay, so just an average Chipotle. Like, there's a lot of options here. What do you get in your Chipotle burritos?
Well, at first, I don't get burritos. I get burrito bowls because it's the pro move because you get more ingredients. If you're not doing that, you're a fool. I'll just go down. Okay, so like I'll go down the line and I'll just – Jameis would be guacamole because he could either be
– Guacamole's nasty, dude.
Because he could either be good or bad and he's going to cost you extra in a couple of years. What's up? Nailed it.
Did you though? Because guacamole is always bad. So,
yeah, you know, I know this is hard to believe, but like you're wrong. I think what would Adam Humphries would be the rice because it's just straight consistent all the time. You know what you're getting. It's like the baseline of the offense, the simple stuff. Like that's him.
Okay. I like that. Evans is the meat, then, right?
Yeah. Mike Evans is. I'm gonna go with Mike Evans being the steak because when he's doing everything he needs to, like that's as good as it gets. Like if you get steak and it's like cooked fresh, it's right there and it's that like medium rare, like it's on point. DeSean Jackson's the hot sauce because it'll run through you fast. Okay, moving on. and then the two tight ends. All right, here we go. The two tight ends are the beans because they're the ultimate compliment, right? Right? Follow me here.
Wow.
Cam Brate is black beans, and then O.J. Howard is pinto because he's cooked with bacon, and that's the little extra that you get with the athleticism. What's up?
Oh, my. And the blocking. Oh, my goodness.
I just nailed it, man.
Wow. Well done. That was well done. I don't even agree with all, but just the way that you paralleled them was without – I'm assuming much prep. Or did you look at that question in the 12 hours that Kist posted it?
I saw that. Shout out to Michael Kist. I saw that when he posted it last night, and then I did think of it this morning, and I was going through some stuff. So
okay, that was well done. That was really well done. Also, he wanted to know who has more air yards, French toast or waffles. Not sure air yards matter. But
waffles, because did you see this last night? Yeah. I'm going to say waffles because I don't like French toast. Do you like French toast?
I do. I love French toast, but I still say waffles. I also have waffles less often than I have French toast. Like, when I say waffles, I mean like the – not like the Eggo freezer, you know.
Right.
The,
no, crap. Yeah,
but you're
exactly.
Talking about
like
the big
Belgian
ones. Waffle. Yeah, like when you make them at the hotels and stuff. Like,
yes. Yeah. Yes.
I need a waffle maker like that, actually. But yeah, those things are fire, man. They crush pancakes and they crush French toast. Let's be honest. I mean,
I'm not a big fan of soggy toast. So
yeah, no soggy toast for here. Is Jay Cutler about to post his best season at age 34? 100% no. Not even a little bit. No.
Yes.
You think he's about to do his best season?
Yes.
What? Look at him last night. Oh, he threw back shoulder to Devontae Parker, who made a play like a Greek god rising up over Ronald
Darby. That's why.
But
that's why he's gonna have a good
because
year.
Because of Parker.
Ajay's a monster, and I think there's a ton of talent in that receiving core. So
he's gonna suck. Dolphins are gonna suck. They're one of those teams. They're one of those 12 teams. I'm telling you, they're one of those 12 teams.
Crabb's gonna come for your neck after this episode, man.
That secondary's garbage. Now Vance Joseph's gone. That secondary's garbo. That linebacker core is so overrated.
I didn't say they were gonna win.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going off at this point. Cutler's still gonna. I think he's still gonna be bad. I don't think he looked good last night. He made that one throw. You know. He was okay. I mean, but he's Cutler, man. He's like, do you think the Dolphins make the playoffs?
No, absolutely not.
Neither do I. You know, I don't think it's even close. And I think if they got Cutler playing his best season, they would maybe make the playoffs. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. Not a believer. Not a believer in what the Miami Dolphins are putting out there. Let's just put it that way. Where are we at? What's worse? A new zit or a bad hair day? What the heck? Well, for you, it's probably a bad hair day.
Yeah, I know it is.
I have very short cropped hair, and it's very difficult for me to have a bad hair day.
Yeah, you kind of just wake up, and it's there.
I mean,
it could not be there. It could be worse.
That's true. Yeah, good point. buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I've used it before for concerts and for tickets to sporting events as well. Just incredibly efficient way to buy tickets. And to organize the information that you need to be able to make the best purchase. They just save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. To get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, our listeners get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. $20 off. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL, no spaces, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Great stuff from SeatGeek as always. Here's a great question from Dan Saxton. Why specifically would a rookie quarterback need more time before starting? What's so destructive about experience? How do you ruin a quarterback doing this? That's a pretty well said question.
You want to go first, yeah, or me?
Okay, I'll go first if you want me to.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing for a rookie quarterback is that would be starting too early is you don't want to put them in a position where mentally they're not able to handle the workload of what's out there, because then the physical stuff starts to evaporate, I think, a little bit. So there's two parts of this. There's the part to me that you need to be able to understand, at least have obviously this part's going to grow, you know, to a degree, this aspect, but even at least have a base understanding of like coverages, pre-snap reads, you know, what the playbook is, be able to demonstrate at a high level that you know what you're throwing against, different looks the teams could potentially throw at you, you can handle film study the week before. Because if you don't know the mental aspects of it, your confidence is going to erode because mistakes are going to happen, defenses are going to tear you apart. You're not going to be able to identify blitzes pre-snap, so you're going to put yourself in position to make mistakes, and your mechanics are going to start to evaporate as well, which is the second part of it, I think, is the offensive line play. Throwing a rookie quarterback into the fire against a great defense, you know, a lot of teams have waited like a week until they faced like a less ferocious defense, or if their offensive line was struggling, you know, waited until they found a favorable matchup. So that you don't destroy either confidence, and now that's different for every player. Some player that may be fragile, some that may not be a situation you have to worry about at all. But throwing them into the fire against a defense like that when you don't have great protection, we saw that with David Carr in his career, and with other quarterbacks as well, that they didn't have great protection. You know, they kind of got used to playing in chaos all the time, and then when there wasn't chaos in the situations, they anticipated it. They saw ghosts. They didn't really settle into the pocket. They didn't process at the same rate that they would have if they were comfortable. So I think that because of that, all those aspects of it are super important, and you have to kind of gauge all those as a coach. to decide whether your rookie needs to sit or start right away. I think that you only get really better by playing to a degree, but I do think there has to be a baseline ability, like knowledge base and ability before you go into the starting lineup as well. I don't think it worked. Those 2 to 3 year developmental plans for quarterbacks, those things rarely actually happen. They're great in theory. They rarely actually occur.
Yeah, I just think that there's – you got to learn, man, and getting your confidence crushed, as you were kind of saying a little bit there, it's a big deal for quarterbacks. And when you are the man for basically 8 straight years going through high school and college, then pop into the NFL, it's different. Like, everything is different. Every athlete that you go up against is the best athlete you've ever faced in your life, basically. Yeah. So all those opportunities where you could have had a little bit more room in the pocket here, or you had a little bit more time to throw, or you could make an extra look and a read in the NFL, like, you're getting sacked, you're getting hit. That's what all of it is. And then, like you said, the point where you're seeing ghosts. You know, if you throw a guy out there too early and he's not mentally ready for it, then that's what's going to happen to him. And I think it is kind of a delicate process. I think adjusting to the speed, and not just for a quarterback, really all players, adjusting to the NFL speed is a big deal, no matter what position you're playing at. Because, I mean, we even saw a little – we saw some of that, for example, Dante Fowler from Florida. Okay, like, Fowler had all kinds of, you know, consistency issues with whatever you want to say, like, some of it was technique, some of it was just knowing what to do, and another product of it was he just overpowered people for his entire life when he played football. Mm-hmm. So his first 2 years, I know he got hurt, and that stunted his development, but, like, even the early playing time that he got, like, he got bullied. Yeah. And that was not something that I thought Dante Fowler was going to do. And then last week I watched him against the Bucks, and I saw him have a lot of great, really opportunities. And here it is. This is like years, a couple years into his time, and now he knows what to do. He understands it better. He realizes you can't just out-athlete people. And that's the thing with quarterback, too. You realize that you can't just make every throw and your wide receiver is going to come down with it. That's not the case anymore. So no. I think it's really just everything. People don't realize how big of a transition it is to the NFL, you know, game speed, size, you know, the players you're going up against, the knowledge that you have, the better coaching, all that kinds of stuff, I think goes into that time.
Yeah. Very true, very true. How will the single cut from 90 down to 53 players positively and negatively impact teams and players? I don't know if there's a negative impact, really. I can't think of one anyway. Positively, I think that, you know, guys that would be on the street after game 3 of the preseason will now get another opportunity to display that they belong. And, you know, that could always, you know, sway a close decision one way or another. So, you know, it gives, cuts were down to 75 before. So now it gives 15 more guys, you know, a nice opportunity to be able to prove something they wouldn't have had the opportunity to prove in the past. And really for teams, I don't know that there's a negative. You know, to me, it makes it easier for the teams because you don't have to, like, before you'd have to worry about, okay, if you want to rest, like, your QB 1 and 2, or if you have 2 DNs hurt and you want to rest, you know, your 3rd and 4th guys, you need to make sure you don't cut a DN on your first, you know, because you had to have enough guys to finish the game. And, you know, you may have at least 2 centers, so, if you know, you had to figure out, like, who to cut to get to 75, but still have enough people that you wanted to trot out there for a meaningless game 4. So that kind of takes all that, which was kind of meaningless thought, you know, just waste of time thought from guys that were going to get cut either 1st or 2nd anyway. So now it just kind of takes that out, and teams can just focus on rolling with the same 90-man group they've had the whole time. So
yeah, and I know Coach Cutter down here in Tampa, he loves it. I'm sure every coach loves it because you have all kinds of injuries that happen in the preseason too. And instead of having to cut a guy, and then all of a sudden the guy that you kept gets hurt, only to call up the guy that you cut, have, you know, bring him back in, get him all his paperwork, like all kinds of stuff, get him back on the field. Instead, he's just there the whole time. You know, it's not a big deal. And then he doesn't have to, you know, have that thing in the back of his head where, oh, man, I only got 2 weeks, and then after 2 weeks I can get cut. Well, now it's like, okay, you got a whole month. You have a whole month to get your feet underneath you, get comfortable, do what you do best. It just it makes so much sense that this is the way that they do it now. And yes, it's a huge cut at the end of the period, but if you asked any football player, they'd say, yeah, I'm glad I get an extra 2 weeks for a job interview, you know? I'm glad I get to be out here an extra 2 weeks, get an extra 2 weeks of coaching that could possibly make them better in the long run. You know, it just it makes too much sense to do this, and I'm glad they finally did.
Right. That question was from Chuck Diesel, by the way, so shout out to our boy.
There you go, Chuck.
Sean O'Neill wants to ask, do you guys buy any of the rumored interests the Colts have in Brock Osweiler?
I have no clue, man.
I mean, if the recent report was Andrew Luck seems unlikely, I think was the term, was the phrasing, to start week one. So, I mean, Brock Osweiler, is he horrible? Yeah. Is he an upgrade on Scott Tolzien? Probably. But at this point coming in, how much of an upgrade at this point coming into the season? You know, I just, what do you have to give up to get him? It can't be much, right? I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But I have no idea whether they would be have interest. I understand why they would, I guess. You got to get something that could potentially be an upgrade because they lose those first couple games. That roster's not good enough to run the table with when Luck comes back. So I get why they're thinking along that path, but I don't think Osweiler can be the answer. You know, I definitely wouldn't give up anything serious for him. Riley Almond wants the basketball question, man. He's ready. Last question of the day. He says, give me the basketball question.
All right. So there are four basketball players, and I'm going to ask the listeners to pick one. If you could take any of these four basketball players and put them into the NFL, which one would it be? And, John, I'm going to have you rank them in order that you would want to. And you can't put them at whatever position. I'm going to tell you what position they're going to play, okay?
Right.
The first, and I'm going to go over a little – I'm going to go over a couple of things as I list them off. So the first is Russell Westbrook, who is 6'3", 200 pounds. We're talking about Russell Westbrook as a defensive back. So if you want to play him at corner, you can. If you want to play him at free safety, you can.
Okay.
You want to put him at nickel, whatever, you can. So Russell Westbrook as a defensive back. All right. The next one, Draymond Green, who is 6'7", with a 7-foot wingspan. Don't know how much he weighs. I don't see that right here. But, he's like 240. So, Draymond Green at defensive end. That's where Draymond Green would
be. Okay.
Next, we got Derrick Rose. Okay. And I'm talking, this is my question, so I can say whatever I want. This is Derrick Rose pre-knee injury, okay? So we're talking like peak athlete, sure. Derrick Rose, who
elite.
Let me see here. He is, I think he is like, again, 6'3", about 190, 195. He had a 40 introvert when he was going through the NBA combine. And in the court sprint, he ran a 3.05, 3/4 the court split. So if we're trying to translate that to football, a basketball court is, I think it's like right under 32 yards. So if you take that to 3/4, you know, you're looking at like 25, 27-ish yards. So bringing that to 40, I'm thinking he's running probably like a 4.5, like right around a 4.5 flat. Okay. So him at running back, pre-knee injury, all the explosiveness that he has. Or the last one, he is 6'11", 255 pounds, no, with an 8-foot wingspan, Anthony Davis at tight end.
Heck no. No, no, no.
So look, those are your four.
I'm no to Anthony Davis. Who were the – was Davis, Rose, LeBron, and Westbrook?
No. Westbrook and Draymond Green.
Draymond Green, yeah. I'm taking Westbrook 100%. 100%. That dude could be good at like any skill position you put him at, other than like quarterback maybe. Like, he's a freak athlete. He's strong. He's aggressive. He's explosive. If I'm picking one NBA player to come play in the NFL at any position, it's Russell Westbrook.
LeBron
in his prime maybe, but that's about it.
All right. What if I change it to DeMarcus Cousins playing tight end? Because he's 270.
Nah. Still same. Although DeMarcus Cousins at D end is pretty intriguing to me.
All right, so then rank them. Rank them in which that you would pick them. Westbrook at safety, Davis at tight end, Draymond Green at D end, and Rose at running back.
I'd probably go Westbrook, Draymond, Rose, and Davis.
You realize Anthony Davis is 7 foot with an 8 foot.
When is he going to get on the field? He doesn't run that fast. And
just put, I don't know, put him in line. I don't care. Put him only.
He can't block.
Put him only on goal line situations.
He's going to lose the leverage battle every single time. He's going to get run over. He's going to get pushed in the backfield and the play's going to get blown up.
He doesn't have to block. Put him in the slot, son.
Why? He can't run. He can't move. He's not going to be able to separate.
He separates by putting his arms in the air.
He can't catch a football. He's used to catching a freaking basketball.
Anthony Davis would make Blake Bortles a good quarterback.
That's no. Oh my goodness.
Think of the wingspan. All right.
By the way, do you have any takes on the Jaguars quarterback situation?
I had my takes last week because I saw him play the Bucs, and after the game, I said it's painfully obvious that Chad Henne is their best quarterback.
I don't even think you're right, and I think Blake Bortles is horrible. I don't think they have an answer, to be honest.
Chad Henne came in the game when they played the Bucs and just dropped two dimes to Keelan Cole and then one to Allen Robinson in the end zone, and both of them just straight up dropped the ball for a touchdown. So I was like, okay, well, Blake's not doing that. So
that's true. It's a disaster. Yeah, there we go. I don't think any are good enough to result in a big change of wins, whether they start or not. I think either way, it's going to be a train wreck. It's my prediction for the fight. We'll be back next week. We've got more positional rankings. What are we on to? Linebackers, right? Linebackers,
yep.
Ed, corners, safeties.
No, we just did edge, didn't we?
Yeah, we did edge. We did interior D-line. I think we did anyway. Yeah. It's getting hard to remember in my old age, but... Yeah, we got linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties next week. We'll talk some more draft and then college football. I mean, it's right at our fingertips, man.
The end of next week. Yep. There it is.
Real excited for it. So we'll have all that and more coming up on Locked On NFL Draft. Make sure you keep it locked right here.